next coach on the teleconference is Michigan's John Beilein. The Wolverines are 23-7 overall and won the outright Big Ten championships with a 15-3 Big Ten record. Michigan will be the number one seed in this week's Big Ten tournament and will play the Game 5 winner between Indiana and Illinois at noon Eastern time on Friday, March 14th. Coach Beilein, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. It was a good week, another good week for us, and we're thrilled to have clinched this championship outright this past Tuesday, and beat a good Indiana team on Saturday in really a tremendous atmosphere here in Chrysler. So our guys are excited. We'll be back in practice today and this week, and know that we'll have difficult challenges, but great opportunities in the Big Ten championship tournament.
Thanks, Coach. Let's go straight to questions, please.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star.
Hey, Coach, this might be a little bit simplistic, but just, in looking at that Thursday game, and obviously you don't know who you'll play yet, but, I mean, does it help that your last two opponents are Illinois and Indiana, and just in terms of maybe recall's not going to be that hard, you're not going to have to go too far back to really get a feel for how they've improved because you've kind of seen, their best or at least what they look like at the end of the season so recently?
Yeah, I think but that probably goes for all three teams. So that, there's a familiarity. When we were playing Illinois just last Tuesday, we hadn't seen them all year long. It was a single play. And Indiana had been a good month. So the fact that we just played those two, it helps all three teams just as far as the recall of the different play the schemes people run and the personnel, they'll recall it better, but has probably very little effect on the play of the game because all three teams are in the same deal.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Brendan Quinn with MLive Media Group.
Hey, John. I just wanted to kind of touch on it seemed like the team kind of had a pretty serious edge to it in finishing out the regular season and trying to get that championship. I guess in terms of maintaining that edge, is that something you talk about? I mean, how do you kind of carry that through all the way to Friday with a pretty long gap?
Well, yeah, I mean, we got to make sure that we get enough rest, but we also got to make sure that our practices are just like any other practices that we have, albeit they'll be a little shorter, but at the same time, they will be intense, and the coaches will not let up. We're pretty demanding in the tempo of our practices, the communication piece of our practices, and the intensity. And so if you just take care of those, they just go out and hopefully they play the exact same way.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from one of Andrew Kahn.
Hi, Coach. I'm doing a feature on your NCAA tournament success, and I've already spoken with Steve Evans at Lemoyne and your former assistant Mike Donald and some of your former players. So one thing I wanted to ask you is whether your teams run set plays as far as, you calling out a word or tapping your head or something and then the players, moving in predetermined directions, or is your offense more fluid in that they've been drilled where to go, based on what the defense shows?
You want all the secrets, huh?
Well, I understand you cannot answer this as honestly.
It would be a combination of both.
Okay.
But if we're calling some action, it could morph into anything though. It's the action we want them to go to, but if the other team blows it up, it becomes a different action somewhere else. So but also there's times that I have no idea what they're going to do. The ball is going to talk.
Okay. And then another thing, do you feel like, you've sort of honed your craft at the lower levels, D3, D2, the MAC, et cetera, and sort of maybe made some mistakes on those smaller stages that have prepared you now, for the biggest stage? And sort of in other words, do you feel like you've seen most everything on a basketball court at this point?
Well, to answer your question, absolutely not. Have I seen almost everything? It is absolutely incredible in these years as a coach. And we had a lot of coaches, really good coaches in this league that have coached a while. Every year we're looking at something and said, at least I am. I said, I never thought of that in my life. And you learn something every practice, every game. You learn. Your first question, absolutely. And that goes with everybody. I was so fortunate to make mistakes at the lower levels that I could learn from the hard way. I'd never been assistant coach, so I didn't learn through that method. I sort of had to learn by saying, you know, that was not smart what we did today, and I have to learn to be a better coach from it. And that's really assisted me in any success we've had after coaching at the small college level, where, by the way, the coaches are every bit as good as the coaches that they're coaching right now, where there's a lot of great coaches at every level.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Lee Brocknett for the Omaha World Herald.
John, kind of dovetailing off of that, considering you've coached through this spectrum of basketball and rebuilt programs, what's your appreciation for what Tim Miles has done at Nebraska this year?
Oh, it's been terrific because, you know, he's been a little nomadic as well as I have in changing jobs and trying to just find a great situation where he can really coach at the highest level. And you know, his the way that Nebraska has embraced him, the way the atmosphere there. I mean, I think we played the first Big Ten game there,
right?
And it was a great atmosphere there. And then this team is, you know, put together differently as far as I think Big Tens would be because of the amount of transfers that they have right now, and as a result, that can go either way. And these transfers have bought in and done a great job, and as a result, they've had a spectacular year. And his staff. We all give way too much credit to head coaches. It's the staffs, and Tim is a great one, but the staffs are the backbone of all the head coaches.
And when you have guys who have been with you for a while, you have to spend less time coaching your staff. You can coach your players.
Well, you know, I think that everybody would prefer to have guys for two or three years, you know, in their program. But what Pittsford has done for that team right now is in Petaway. I mean, those guys, the redshirt year with them is invaluable while they were transferring and sitting out, because then they could really sit back and learn the game. And I think that's one of the great advantages of that this rule where people shouldn't have to sit out a year is crazy, because that is one time they get a free education for another year and they get to be better basketball players. So they've used that very well.
Great. Appreciate you, John. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Lana Mark Snyder with Detroit Free Press.
John, year after year, you guys have had different levels of team success, failure. It seems like, you know, but you can't get past that one win in the Big Ten tournament. Do you see any commonalities there?
No, I do not know. I think the tournament, anytime that you're in the tournaments, you know, you really got to be playing great basketball or you're done, and it only takes one game. But, you know, I think it's always different. Whether we were in the Richmonds and the West Virginias, and you were in Canisius, you had to win that tournament at Canisius and Richmond. You basically had to win that tournament. So that's one thing that you're going through. West Virginia in the first NCAA bid, we had to win a lot of games to go to that the first year, and we did. So I think there's different sense of purpose in those things, and you got to go and get through those first games and really play well. And whether there's you got to find ways to get lucky, and you got to find times to play hard. And if you can, you could be sitting there on the championship game.
Thanks.
Your next question is a follow-up from one of Andrew Kahn.
Oh, Hello again, Coach. From the, you know, sort of the 1-3-1 to the two-guard offense and now more pick and roll, are these changes more because of your personnel or because of opponents adapting to your style and maybe more opponents running this, so therefore being more familiar with those styles?
Well, I think there's two things, and you're right on with one of them. You adapt to your personnel. We always have. We've tried to morph our offense and our defense to the personnel that we have. But secondly, it has very little to do with opponents. It has to do with trends in the game and the way the game is. Like this year, some things had to change because of the way the game was going to be officiated. But the game continues to change, and as a coaching staff, we've tried to change right with it, but not with a high regard for, because there's so many teams will play you so many different ways. You have to become versatile in your approach. But you also would be crazy not to be using, you know, the ball screen offenses and the variety of them that I learn about. I learn more about the ball screen offense every day just by playing another game or having another practice and defense.
Okay, and then last thing, among head coaches at least, do you think you watch more film than most? One of your assistants told me you watch film of every practice, and what are you hoping to get out of that, I guess?
I have no idea what other head coaches do, so I can't answer that question.
Okay.
What I do know is, yeah, I watch I wouldn't say every minute of every practice, but I probably watch an hour of every practice over again, trying to get angles right, try to use it as a teaching tool with our players. So you can tell them one thing, you can show them another. And by telling them and showing them firsthand, I think it's been a great learning tool for us.
All right, thanks again.
All right, thanks.
Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
All right, thank you.